All right, ladies and gentlemen, what embargo? I'm not catfish. I'm Big Tuna. And with me, as always, is Yellow Snapper. As you can tell, he was making fun of me for my Beats by Dr. Dre.
Looks good.
Called me a high school kid. I said I was more like Cam Newton. And then we started talking about Pac-Man Jones and the Cincinnati Bengals and the Minnesota Vikings kicker. But today we're going to talk about big ring gauge Habanos.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about big ring gauge Habanos on our year-end show, on our top list show 2 weeks ago. And we made a comment about how, first of all, Habanos SA is coming out with big ring gauges. And secondly, how, in my opinion, they are striking on all cylinders with big ring gauges. They could do certainly small ring gauges, but definitely they could do big ring gauges. So before we talk about, well, one of the things that let's kind of put out there as a metric. So what do you consider big ring gauge, Seth?
Well, when it comes to big ring gauges and it comes to anything, the first thing I want to do is, especially when you look at Habanos, you look at what's a big ring gauge. I don't look at, you know, diademas, salamones, anything like that. I don't count those as big ring gauges because usually they just take the ring gauge from the bell and then it goes down. I look at that standard Parejo. So I consider anything a big ring gauge, typically anything over 55. Once you get to 55, you're over it.
Yeah, that's when you're kind of it becomes a bit of an uncomfortable mouthfeel.
Yeah, I mean, you know, personally, I would say a big ring gauge is anything over 52, but to be, I think, fair and more realistic, I think 55 is a really good cutoff point. Mm-hmm. In terms of length, I don't have any requirements on that. I typically find that anything with a 55 ring gauge, unless it's like a little nub, which is big, well, was big, it's typically 5.5, maybe 5 inches plus. Mm-hmm. How do you look as hat big ring gauges?
Yeah, I mean, I like you, I don't feel like in terms of length that I put anything on that or is that big of a deal. I feel like if it's – I think it is important with how the head is finished off, right? Like whether it's like a torpedo style or if it's like a Parejo, just like the regular cap, or – you know, you have the Conde 109 when it's kind of slightly tapered. I think that helps a ton in terms of, more comfortable draws and just better mouthfeels in general. So I mainly take into consideration of just the actual ring gauge within the extent of the cigar. And I take into consideration of the actual the head and how it's finished off.
So yeah, that's what I'm with you. And, you know, it's big ring gauges for Cuba are relatively new. Well, not relatively new. They are new. I mean, they really haven't. They've done some regional editions and some special collective humidors and some big cases like that in bigger formats. But it was really in 2010 that I'd say we really saw big ring gauges come about. You know, and that's when we had the White Churchill. The Bahique 56 was introduced as well. And those are big. That's, to me, those were the beginning big ring gauge releases and their regular production, which I think is a big deal. Which, you know, I would say came about 3-4 years after the American market really started getting into 60 ring gauges.
Yeah, because let's think about that. Let's try to draw some parallels between the non-Cuba market and the Cuba market of big ring gauges. I mean, what is the first big ring gauge you remember kind of out of the non-Cuba market?
I just remember when 60s were being introduced. Because, yeah. You know, I started smoking, and when I was still smoking, you know, I came in the 50s when I started, 54 was a big ring gauge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the 60s started getting introduced. And I saw, you know, it was Perdomo. I saw La Florida Minicana had them.
Right.
There was a lot of people who had those big ringers.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays 60 ringers, 6x60 to be more specific, is is a standardized. Yeah, it's a standardized Vitola out of the spectrum of whatever release. So,
yeah. So, you know, years after that, I think Cuba, being typically smart as I would say they are, and Habanos is, you know, you have a country which is very well known for their small ring gauge releases, their Petit Coronas, Panatellas, introduces a 55 ring gauge, which is a big deal. Right. It's a big deal for the rest of the world too, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And it's successful.
Yeah, it's incredibly successful. I mean, so when I think about big ring gauges, I mainly shift towards the side of when Cuba started making their special releases, right? Because those are the big, you know, the high profile, big marketing kind of stuff, right? Like
Limitadas.
Exactly. So, like, I'm thinking edition Limitadas, I'm thinking regionals, I'm thinking the Grand Reservas and things of that nature. So let's talk about each one of those things. For instance, so when I take limited editions that Cuba has, I would say within just probably the last like 2 years in 15 and 14, because I think everything was comfortable within ring gauge and quote unquote norm of what Cuba comes out until in 14 when they come out with,
2012, remember they had the Monte Cristo 520, which was a 55 ring gauge.
Right.
So that was kind of a limited edition, which took on that size of that White Churchill. Mm-hmm. But you're right.
Though, that sucker was that's a good point you make, because I remember buying some of the 520s when they came out back then. And yeah. Because I was so used to just smoking like pretty much like what? Most of the time, 46 ring gauge and below. And I remember getting those in. And then first of all, I thought, oh my gosh, these are big freaking cigars. They're like six by five, 55 or so.
Yeah.
And when I was actually smoking it, and I actually felt like the ring gauge was a little uncomfortable. Whereas fast forward now, ever since like coming out with like the Cohiba Robusto Supremos in 14 and then the Mag 56 this past year, it's funny because when I spoke the Mag 56 and the Cohiba Robusto Supremos, it felt like it's becoming a norm for me to smoke big ring gauge Cuban cigars.
And it's funny you say that, because for me, I still look at it as they're playing around with it and they really want to see the commitment. You know, they have that Bahique 56 and, you know, they did that Cohiba Robusto and that big ring gauge, but it makes me wonder, do I think they're ever going to introduce like a big 60 ring gauge Cohiba or anything larger for regular production?
Yeah.
And my gut instinct would be like, as of right now, no, I don't see him doing it for a little while.
Well, wait a minute. Supposedly the new Cohiba is going to be a big ring gauge Cohiba. Some rumors say it's going to be a 60 ringer.
If it is, it is. Maybe I'm wrong.
But I'm not sure. Well, that stuff is all rumor now. So I hear some rumors about how it's going to be a 60 ringer and how it's going to be a regular production. I've also heard people say it's going to be an extension of another Siglo line. And then some people say it's like a 50-year anniversary special, you know, edition kind of a thing. But make no mistake, all the rumors that are out is saying that it's going to be the biggest ring gauge that Habanos SA has come out with, that is going to come out with.
I mean, then it would be that 60, you know, it'd be that 60. I mean, years before the Cohiba Robusto was released, if you go back to our early episodes, Catfish, I said it. They're gonna make a Cohiba Limitada 60. I was off by two.
Yeah, pretty damn close though.
But it was close.
Yeah, I mean, between honestly 58 and 60 ring gauge, and then if you have a, you know, just a regular capped, you know, Parejo head, it doesn't freaking matter.
So. Yeah, it's one of those things. You get to that point, and it's very similar. But
yeah.
And I think the big thing, because this is when you get into that 60 ring gauge, you get into that 55 plus, you got a lot of filler tobacco. You're taken away from the wrapper. And speaking with non-Cubans, there are very few 60 ring gauges that I've had, or 55 ring gauges plus that I've had, which have actually been very well balanced, producing a lot of flavor and showing something that good cigar should. And when people are criticizing Cuba for that out anyways, for their smaller stuff, it's you go into a big regain saying, how is Cuba going to do with this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you and I both agree that they actually have done a great job with it.
No, for sure. Because I think about the 60 ring gauge that I smoked in the non-Cuban format, right? Like personally for me, Nick's Weiwense, right? So my favorite Vitola of his line is the Corona Gorda one that he has out. I also smoked his – I think he has a 60 ringer on his line.
He's got a big ring gauge in the line.
He's got a big ring gauge in general. So I had that one, and I totally felt like it really draws away from that like – big spice, big wood, big powerful, bold notes. And it kind of gets kind of filtered out and becomes really tamed down to the point where I felt like, to a certain extent, I was just blowing billows of smoke that's not as flavorful for me. Whereas when I think about the Cuban big ringgauges I smoke, you know, the Cohiba Robusto Supremos, the RNJ White Churchills, and the MAC 56s that you recently reviewed, I think it's completely on point. Like take that 56 example, the Upman LE 56. By the way, you guys can check out Seth's reviews on that. It's on one of our
It's on HabanosCritic.com, which is a good yeah. – it's a good big ring gauge.
Right. So for me, that one, within its first two-thirds of it, it did not taste like it was a young cigar at all. And only in the last two-thirds, last third of it, where I felt like it showed its youth. And you could totally tell that, oh, wow, like the youth for this kicks in here. But with age, I think it's going to mellow out great and mend together.
And that's the one thing I'll say about the Magnum 56 is it's not that it's a bad ring gauge, big ring gauge. It's just that it's young still. It needs time. But it's smoking great. But it's, you know, I look at White Churchill's. White Churchill's, I'm not a big fan of the Romeo brand. I just can't really get behind it. I like the Churchills sometimes, but other than that, I just don't bother with it. But the Wide Churchill is a phenomenal blend. It really shows those Romeo qualities that I like. And there's a lot going on with it, which when I smoke a short Churchill or, you know, a petite Churchill, I just don't get it. And everyone's like, really? But that's what I find.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what it is, man. Like, for instance, I've heard some manufacturers in the non-Cuba market say, well, we use really high priming stuff where some of our binder leaves that we use could be easily wrapper leaves, right? So yeah. With that, I take, you know, I read between the lines and I read, well, you know, as most of us know, most of the flavors are coming from that wrapper leaf, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, is that what Habanos is doing? I don't know. I'm not interested in gutting up any of my MAC 56 or anything to find out. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
they make a smoother big ring gauge. You know what yeah. I mean? They blend it to be flavorful, and they really spend a lot of time in making sure, I think, that they're using the right tobaccos to make it a flavorful big ring gauge release. While I think a lot of the non-Cuban guys are looking at the market wants something stronger. They want something really bold. They also want something big.
Mm-hmm.
Let's add some stuff in there. Let's add some Lajero. Let's make it a little bit bolder and bigger right. to really appeal to the market. And I think what it does is it just makes for this really big, powerful, lacking in flavor release. Mm-hmm. While Habanos is still doing that. I mean, you look at the Cohiba Bihiques. You know, you have the 52, which the Bihique 52 is my least favorite Vitola offering in the Bihique line. I don't like it. I think the 54 is the most balanced. But if you look at the 56, it's very smooth. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of flavors. It's just really big. And it's just right. I'm not a big cigar guy, so I lose interest in it. But it still has a lot of flavors and it's balanced. Yeah. While a lot of these other non-Cuban 56s and 60s are just beasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think I totally agree with you. You know, in a non-Cuban, I mean, So relatively, if you're stacking up Cubans and non-Cuban cigars, and if I look at the non-Cuban counterpart of 60 ring gauges or just big ring gauges in general, it's just going after – typically just going after strength, right? Whereas for me, the Cuban counterpart is – I mean, first and foremost, is flavor. Yeah. And at the same rate, the Cuban market, the Habanos SA in general, is creating – more strength, more nicotine, big cigars. Like, I personally feel like within both the Upman 56 and the Cohiba Robusto Supremos, by the end of that, I definitely felt the nicotine kick, whereas I really, really feel that with vast majority of Habanos that I smoke.
It's what I've found and what I think is, I think – there's a big difference between the Habanos market and the American market. And I think the Habanos market overall and the consumers of Cuban cigars are more educated. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm going to probably piss a lot of people off for that, but I think they're more educated. I don't think they're smoking to smoke.
Wait, I think you said the non-US market are more educated smokers.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Agreed.
Educated in the sense of what they're looking for. Right. While a lot of the American smokers are picking up big ring gauges just because they want to have something big. It's a good price to it. Right. So, and you'll hear the non-Cuban manufacturers. They'll say, oh, I hate these 60 ring gauges, but that's what the market wants. So they're just throwing.
That's what it sells, right?
Yeah, it sells. So they're throwing them out there for it. While Cuba's like, listen, you know, we don't make a lot of these big ring gauges, but when we do, we're going to put quality behind them. And you see that with the Y Churchill. You see that with the Cohiba Robusto Supremos, the Magnum 56. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference between the two. And it shows, and it pays off.
Right. And the thing is, you know, to further kind of testify to that point is when you actually get to smoke the big green gauge or the Cuban stuff, first and foremost, you recognize flavor. Mm-hmm. Right. Like first and foremost, you think, wow, because I smoked, you know, a good amount of non-Cubans, of course, and still continuously do so. When I smoke a big non-Cuban cigar, big ring gauge non-Cuban cigar, I just expect it to be drowned out in flavors. So yes. When I pick up that Cuban cigar, that's a bigger ring gauge. I expect the same thing, but pretty much. At no point did I ever get that, actually, when I think about all the 55-plus ringers that I smoked. Are they young? Yeah, certainly. Is Cuba doing a better job of giving the smoker a fresh, you know, youthful cigar, but that has plenty of flavor? Of course. Like, I think they're doing better and better as the years go on.
Oh, absolutely.
So
they're paying attention to it. And here's a classic example. You look at the Pura La Arenaga brand. Mm-hmm. For a long time, it's just Petit Coronas, Panatellas. Then they released the Picadores last year, mm-hmm. which is not a gigantic cigar. But when you look at the Picadores compared with all mm-hmm. these older releases, you'll see that it's just a huge, huge jump up. But look at how they blended it and how it smokes. And you're like, wow, this is actually really good.
And those Pura La Arenaga big green gauge cigars, which are pretty much all the regional stuff that you've been seeing for the most part, they're highly sought after. Like, and they're instantly 20%, 30% plus markup at a minimum upon release. And that's insane, dude. Like, and it's Pura La Arenaga, in which it's a brand that not many people even gave a crap about at all for the most part until these, you know, head-turning regionals came out.
Yeah, no one. I think there was probably a couple people who really appreciated the Petit Coronas, but it wasn't a huge selection. I mean, I've been able to get my hands on Petit Corona boxes with a good amount of years on them. Mm. I don't think it's a huge production, but when they make these big regional additions, there's a high demand for them. And you look where they go. I mean, you get them for Asia Pacific, Great Britain, They do really well.
Yeah, but like the 2014, what is that, Silver Alienantes or whatever, Silver Alien, I guess is what people always call it. But, you know, like, you know, first of all, that was a cigar in which there was a huge freaking waiting list for, if you could find it at a good MSRP for what it's supposed to be sold at. But the thing is, once everybody got them, I mean, if you could be on a waiting list and get those, like right out of the bat, you see it in the secondary market for about 50% markup. And people are buying it happily at a 50% markup.
Yeah.
So, and I think about Polo Onaga before these, you know, bigger ring gauge edition regionals came out. I mean, people are actually complaining about Polo Onaga, like saying the Petit Coronas, you know, they're good if you have age on them and if they even draw. Like I heard that a lot.
Yeah. No one cared about the brand, and the brand has become recognized because of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Which is because, I mean, I've always been a fan of them, but they just, they need age. They really do.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So. Well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the regional stuff in general. I mean, or continuously talk about regional stuff, rather.
Yeah.
I mean, within just tons of regionals that come out, the more notable ones, I mean, let's just, you know, I have, for instance, our website pulled up in front of me.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the 2015 guys that are either out or they're, you know.
Ramon Iones from Fenicia.
Yep.
5x55.
Right.
There's a Juan Lopez for Andorra.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, I had a 2008 Boulevard for Great Britain.
Yeah,
it's they're finding these brands and they're offering them in this 55 ring gauge. I think they found that 55 is a really good point for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that they went up to a 58 and then they went down to a 56 with age up, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And it's also interesting because when I think about regionals, you know, I assume Habano's essay when they think about regionals and which specific regionals it goes to, like whether to Asia Pacific, to UK, et cetera, they try to think about in general what kind of flavor profile and what kind of Batola sells well in that specific region. Whereas this confuses me because, I mean, you've got, you know, La Gloria Cubana Glorious, that's a Rodolfo size of the 7x54 that's going to Germany, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't think of, you know, Germany in general liking big ringers like that. And honestly, I don't think of any of these countries aside from US liking big ringers.
Yeah, it's exactly. They're meeting the demand, but I don't think they're going overboard. And I think a lot of it, in the US, once something becomes big, people start going overboard on it. I mean, look at, you know, brought tobacco aged in bourbon barrels. I mean, shit, everything released this year. I mean, people were like, oh yeah, it's aged in bourbon barrels, by the way. I mean, it's just people were whipping them out.
Right.
But it's, you know, you have a great example is, okay, Romeo and Juliet, a Grand Reserva.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why Churchill?
Yep.
Of all of the sizes for Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny because
they choose that one. You know, it's not like they could have done a Churchill, which is everyone knows Romeo Julieta for Churchill.
Right.
They did the Y Churchill because they knew what the market was looking at.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel conflicted because, you know, within these big green gauges that I've had, I liked them all. There's not one where I thought like, wow, this was not, you know, I wasted my money on this or whatnot. But
yeah.
But at the same rate, I want to go back to seeing more, you know, Dahlias, you know, like the Ramon 898 Germany release.
Yeah.
Longsdale's Dahlias, you know, Corona Gordas. Like that's where my sweet spot is because I feel like if you roll a good, you know, cigar out of those, you could still milk a quality 1.5 hours or so in it, right? Whereas when I smoke, for instance, a Conde 109, I actually think this is too big of a cigar. Like, usually with cigars like that, I easily get bored because, for one thing, I don't want to keep smoking something for like 2.5+ hours because I might probably have ADD when I smoke. So,
no, it's,
you just don't want that same flavor profile for that long. It's like, is kind of like what I'm grabbing about, I guess.
Yeah. And it's tough for me because, you know, first of all, now that I have two kids, you know, you don't really have time to sit back and smoke a cigar for 3 hours.
Yeah.
But when I did, you know, what are the times I had to do it? You know, if you went to the beach or something like that, but I don't want to smoke a Condi 109 at the beach because it's just, even if you're on the beach house at the beach, you're just getting all that sea air and everything in there, and it takes away from the cigar,
right?
But I just, it's they're doing, Habanos is releasing them in a way which they're showing people, look, this is what we can do. I don't think they're going overboard. I don't think they want to make it a big deal. Because if they wanted to make a big deal, they can make some of these under rate of production. I mean, they could announce, you know, H. Upman Magnum 56 rate of production if they wanted to.
Yeah.
But they just haven't done it just because they're like, you know, this is what it appeals to people. We're making a lot more money off of it.
Right.
And then we can still make our Petit Coronas.
Yeah. Because I still think – so I think Habanos SA is super smart for – releasing these big rinkish in the non-regular production formats, right?
Yeah. Like
the LE's regional, Grand Reservers, etc. Because it's kind of like playing around and seeing what the market reacts to. But I think if they were to do a regular production of a big ring gauge, I think the vast majority of just the world Habano smokers, well, it wouldn't sell, you know? Like, whereas if you do like a like a Paul Larrañaga Legendarios or the Silver Alien, like you have it in limited quantity like that and you get some really good tobacco in there, you know, those are going to be instant sellers, and then it's a one-time done limited edition production, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they've found countries and the countries want them, and what's great about them is I think what Habanos continues to do is they recognize that such a cigar of this size is a special occasion cigar.
Mm-hmm.
That mm-hmm. no one is smoking these 655s. No normal person is smoking these on a regular basis.
Right.
So instead of making it regular production, find the country that does want something special, make that a regional edition, or even if you want to go worldwide, make it a limited edition,
mm-hmm.
and have it truly be that special cigar so that when you go and grab a special cigar, you're grabbing something big. And that's the one thing that I'll say that Habanos has always done different than what the non-Cuban market does. Because look at every special edition typically coming from Habanos. It's a big ring gauge. It's a big cigar.
Mm-hmm.
It's typically big. In the United States, people want to make a special edition. Oh, let's make a 10-count box of Lanceros that the American market doesn't want. And they just sit around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The only person who really hasn't done it, and I'll give him credit on this, is B. Johnson with Tatuaje, and he's done a very good job typically of saying, you know, when he releases his monsters, they're big cigars.
Right.
His Cojones were big cigars. They were mm-hmm. special cigars.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, so do you ever think that Habanos SA would ever do a big ring gauge regular production?
I think they will. It's not going to be right away. I think it'll be a couple more years. I think they're playing around with it. You know, when H. Upman got the H. Upman Magnum 50 as regular production, I mean, still to this day, when I pick up a Magnum 50, which is just a 6x50, it's massive. I think of this as a massive cigar. I think they could find a brand that they could do it with. I think they'd start with a global brand. And then they'd go from there. And I think, you know, they did it with Romeo. I know if they're saying Cohiba with the 60, I'll be interested what it is. I think the other brand, I think that would be the next one, would probably be Partagas or Monte Cristo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is totally assumption, but I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they have some shit already rolled in inventory and this aging. And they're going to slap a global brand on it and time it such that when the embargo ends over here, it's going to be coming out. Because, you know, if they were to release anything of that nature right now, flat out overall in world in general, it wouldn't sell. But mm-hmm. I think if U.S. really does open up, when people think about, you know, your average American smoker think about Cuban cigars, they will want to look at that pretty little, you know, Cohiba band, the new Cohiba band, yeah, and what the silky 6x60 wrapper, you know, ring wrapped around it.
Yeah. So. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love for them, you know, let's say they take a 6x55. Let's say they take that Magnum 56 and make a regular production for a brand. You know, I think it'd be awesome if they did something like that for Bolivar or Punch, and then move Bolivar and Punch up to a global brand. I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Do I think they'll do it? Probably not. But they did it with H.U.P. They did stuff with H.U.P. like that.
Right. I mean, I actually flat out think Bolivar not being a global brand is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I'm like, really? Just make it a freaking global brand.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the best other thing we can hope for is they make like a Quaba 6x55.
Yeah, that'll definitely sit on there, and nobody's going to touch the damn thing.
No one will pick that up.
All right. So that's all I had to say about that. Or we can move on to, like, you know, what we smoked and what we bought lately within the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know that you were busy, and there's the Alabama-Clemson game, and, you know, if we want to keep it short tonight for everyone, and I think that would be cool. I just think this is a cool little segment on big ring gauges. Yeah. And I think next week we could come back. You're right there.
I'm getting this weird feedback. Anyways, I can hear you.
Yeah, but I think, you know, we'll next show, let's talk about some recent smokes, because I haven't been smoking as much, and I've been trying to get stuff prepared for end of the year stuff and working on some Cigar Media Association end of the year, our little smoking and seeing what it is and get on track. Oh yeah, man. I've been smoking a lot of non-Cubans.
Yeah. I actually smoked 7 non-Cubans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I gotta say, it's they're good. They're expensive, good cigars, but man, I could get so much better in Cuban cigars. Anyways,
you smoked like what, Year of the Monkey?
Yeah, I had the Davidoff Year of the Monkey, which I thought that was overly hay and sweet. I mean, most Davidoffs I get a very strong hay grass note.
Oh yeah,
like almost like at times even like an earthy like mushroom aspect of it. And I definitely got that, but it was too sweet for me. I don't know if you had this, the Avo Classic Cover 2015. I think it was a limited edition run.
Yeah,
I had it. I liked that because it kind of felt like I was having that Davidoff, but with the extra few leaves of Ligero in there that made it just that extra body and extra depth of flavor. So that actually I would buy, give it the right price.
Yeah, and I've told you about this, and for all the guys out there who I know are big Cubans and they want to think about smoking some non-Cubans, Matilde Oscura, pick up the Toro Brava, the 6x54. It's a big stick. That to me, it's a big 6x54. If you haven't smoked it, there's something to smoke. I've been smoking a bunch of those. There's a non-Cuban that is a big one to try out. But other than that, I haven't been smoking too many stuff, partially just because it was too cold and I've been busy as hell.
Yeah. Well, you do have a new kid, so.
Yeah, that I do. Yeah. So
cool.
We'll make it a short one embargo. Big ring gauge, short one embargo.
Cool. Well, thank you guys again for coming along. You know, as always, if you got any ideas, let us know. We are working on a very special guest.
Yeah, I got confused. I thought the special guest was going to be on this show. It turns out he couldn't. It was my error. We are going to have a special guest. And there's some other guests that we want to bring on. We had Jose Blanco. There's a couple other guests that we do want to bring on as well. Some manufacturers, not Cuban manufacturers, who respect Cuban cigars. But if you have any requests, write on our Facebook page, email us, right on the SigFed page. Reach out to us.
Yeah. Email Logan to get bombed some Cuban cigars too.
Yeah, there you go. So, well, thank you all. If you haven't smoked a Wyatt Churchill, check it out. Go to iHavanas. I know they have it.
Yep, the new January specials are up. Really good stuff.
Specials out on iHavanas. Check it out. Pick up a box of – you can pick up a 10-count box of Wyatt Churchills. Have fun with it.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
There you go. All right, y'all. Have a good evening. Roll Tide, roll.